bishops and companions, who are the stars of guidance and propagators of the new Quran, and also upon the believers, those believers who are their followers in faith. Shaykh Saad is referring directly to Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and they stated all the time. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala are the companions of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, that we must not criticize Sahaba Ikram. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that if you do not know about the Sahaba, you rather remain silent. And when you remain silent, hadith of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sakata najah, whosoever remains silent has barely achieved salvation. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala humajmaeen, via them, through them, whole of Shariat, Deen, Quran, Ahadith, Sunnah of Rasulullah sallam reached us. And if we have to point a finger at them, that we are going to question the integrity, status and position of the whole of Deen. Sahaba Ikram wrote down Quran al-Kareem when it came. Sahaba Ikram wrote down Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it came. For example, in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not many were educated. Educated in the way of reading and writing. Very few. And you could have counted the people who were educated in this sense that they could read and write. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and various other Sahaba were writers. Hazrat Abu Huraira was a writer of Ahadith. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he at the age of 10, his mother brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here is my son. And she came very heavily presenting her son to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what quality she was happy about, she said, here is my son for your khidmat. And he can read and write. That's what she was very happy. And in this age, for example, you will say that he was having a very big degree. And she presented Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he should write down hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was very young. He should be inside the household. One Sahabi should write down the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this I will mention and keep mentioning, that when other Sahaba came to know that this person is writing down the hadith, they objected or they said that why do you write out everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? Don't you know that he is human and he gets sad, he is pleased at times, he gets displeased at times, sometimes he is angry, sometimes he is happy. Why do you write down everything that he says? That Sahabi immediately got worried and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he narrated that, O Rasulullah, that I write down what you say. But you at times are pleased, at times are displeased, at times you get angry with us. And at times you say things. In these conditions and states, must I write down everything? This point we must know. Must I write down everything? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everything that I say you must write down. Irrespective of what state I am. Whether I am pleased or displeased, whether I am happy or sad, whether I am angry, you will write it down. that much protection Allah Rabbul Izzat has upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is masoom, is innocent. So can you imagine the teacher, the ustad, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, one who was pure, is masoom, protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzat says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِلَّا وَحْيُّهَا. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his own desire. Whatever he says is revealed upon him. And the Quran is the revealed word which is recited. What we call in Arabic, one is called matlu, one is called rare matlu. Matlu is that revelation which is recited. See, Quran Kareem is that revelation which came upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which you and I will read daily. And one is non-recited often revelation. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah Rabbul Izzat inspired Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says things and puts it in his words. But the message is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that hadith is divided also. It is one is called Hadith al-Qudsi, the hadith where Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says, and then the hadith goes. Otherwise, normally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just says that you should do this or don't do this, or the instruction likewise. So Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in, that group which stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every walks of life. Can you imagine that a person, Sahaba, he reads two rakats of namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes when you go to a good gathering, then when you read namaz, you feel happy about it. When you go for Hajj, when you go for Umrah, when you go for biggest namaz, then you feel nice to read namaz. You see so much congregation, so many pious people are there, ulama are there, you feel nice about it. You feel spiritually elevated. You feel good about it. Then can you imagine Sahabi reading namaz behind Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation. Can you imagine Sahaba looking at the best of creation that walked on the earth? Can you imagine Sahaba going for Umrah with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can you imagine Sahaba going for Hajj with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Today you and I, sometimes we have the opportunity of making khidmat of some elder, maybe your mother, your father, some alim, the ulama, some weak and feeble people, and some pious people, righteous people, and you feel happy that I am in their company and I am going for Hajj, for Umrah, for Namaz, etc. Can you imagine Sahaba how much privilege they are? They are standing behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are giving zakat in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here the laws are coming and they practice the upon us. Direct, the laws are coming and they practice the upon us. So it is our duty that we must not say anything against Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And we should be very careful that anybody saying anything against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, you point your finger at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you point your finger at Allah azza wa jal, and you should stay far from them. There is no compromise with them that you should work with them and go with them and be sweet with them. No. Because strong warnings have been given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that cursed are those people who criticize Sahaba. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very seldom cursed people. Why? Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that if you criticize Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, the whole edifice of deen will fall down. And that is why I am practically stuck at this point here by Sahaba. Because we must learn how to protect Sahaba, because the whole of deen stands. May Allah grant us understanding. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is our 10th lesson. And we're discussing Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In a kitab called Zadul Maad. Zadul Maad is written by Hafiz Ibn Qayyum, Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hafiz Ibn Qayyum Rahmatullah Alayhi is a student of Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he stated there that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in namaz should read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim softly. Four khulafa, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar, Usman, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, they should read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim softly. Allah Rabbul Izzat has started everything, the whole message of his, by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Ba, by using the letter Ba. Now if you look at this letter Ba, compared to all other Arabic alphabets, you'll notice that the letter Ba is flat. And it has got the nukta, the dot, below the line. If you draw a letter Ba, you see the dot below the line. For example, Ta has got two dots inside the, or above the line. So this is showing that if you are to benefit from Islam, if you are to benefit from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are to benefit from Quran Kareem, if you are to benefit from the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, or you are to benefit from whatever that is coming, we have to humble ourselves. We have to have this quality of humility. We have to have this quality of meekness. We have to bring ourselves down. Allah Rabbul Izzat is teaching us that, listen, I'm using the letter Ba. For example, we all use the letter Alif. Alif has got, for example, a person standing and a person who is, shall we say, proud. But Ba shows meekness, humility, sincerity, all these qualities we must develop. And then look at the Quran Kareem, we will benefit. Then Allah Rabbul Izzat uses Ba, and that Ba has also got rare. Now you and I know we have got rubber and we have got paste. And both rubber and paste are above the line. And rare is that one which is below the line. Again showing that we must have meekness, humility, sincerity. These qualities come into us, we will be able to benefit. And then too, everything happens like this. The baby is born, the baby does not start walking and running. The baby is born, then it starts crawling, then it falls, then it moves, then it starts walking, then it starts running. Allah Rabbul Izzat is showing us a natural way of doing things, that we do things slowly, we do things naturally, starting from Ba with the Kasra and going upward. And then we can reach spiritual heights with it. For example, you see how the aeroplane also goes. The aeroplane just doesn't take off like a soft plane. It runs and then it starts going up. And it goes to heights after. Similarly, the Ba with the Kasra is showing us that by the Quran Kareem, through the Quran, through the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can reach spiritual heights, provided we do it nicely and slowly, and we do it how Sharia wants us to do it. Allah Rabbul Izzat uses three words. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is that being whose existence is compulsory and who has perfect attributes and qualities, who is free from flaws and who is free from fault. That is the small definition of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah's existence is always necessary. See the Persians, the Pharisees use a word for Khuda, which means basically Khud-a. Allah Rabbul Izzat, no one brought him into existence, he was there. Allah Rabbul Izzat is from the beginning, who al awwalu wal akhir. He is the first and he is the last. Allah Rabbul Izzat existed before even time existed. Allah Rabbul was, Allah Rabbul Izzat is, Allah Rabbul Izzat is going to remain. The whole earth, the whole universe, stars, etc. will be destroyed, but Allah will be still there. Allah is the creator, sustainer, provider of everything. Allah has got no fault, Allah is free from error, Allah does not have any change of condition or state. For example, a tree. You have a tree, before the tree came into existence, it was in non-existence. Put a seed, it germinated, then the tree started growing, it started growing up. Then you saw the tree. The tree began to grow up. It was low, then it became high. Then it had branches. then flowers came, then fruits came, then it withered. It had a time where it was blossoming, now it got a time where it's withering. When the seasons come, summer, winter, the green comes, the brown comes. When you have spring and autumn, every season the tree changes. Then eventually the tree dies. It gets destroyed, it is annihilated, it goes to smithereens. Allah Rabbul Izzah is not like that. Allah Rabbul Izzah does not grow. Allah Rabbul Izzah does not go into some changes. No change comes in. No condition comes in. Allah Rabbul Izzah knows that some season is like this and some season is like that. Allah Rabbul Izzah is free from all this. Allah Rabbul Izzah is our creator, and He was in existence, He is in existence, and He is going to be in existence. For example, a person made a watch. The person who invented the watch, he can make the watch, he can repair the watch, he can break the watch. And when he breaks the watch, he can remake the watch. Why? Because he is the maker of the watch. Allah Rabbul Izzah, He is our maker. He is the maker and the creator of the whole universe. He can make it, he can repair it, he can break it, and he bring it back. That is our view about Allah Rabbul Izzah. Allah Rabbul Izzah is powerful, Allah Rabbul Izzah does not depend on anybody. We must learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can explain to people. Basis of Islam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. We keep saying about Allah, but we do not want to know about Allah. Allah Rabbul Izzah, He, when He creates something, it is far superior than man creating something. For example, a person who invented the watch, a person who invented the motor car, a person who does anything, he has to have matter. He had to have the components. Then He brought the components together and the watch was formed. Allah Rabbul Izzah, when He creates, He does not require matter to bring it to existence. Allah Rabbul Izzah, when He creates, He just says, kun fayakun, be and it is. He does not require any matter. He does not require molecule movement. He does not require molecules plus molecules to give you matter. Allah Rabbul Izzah, when He creates, He does not require molecules to go into molecules to give you matter. He just says, be and it is. It just comes into existence. That is our creator. That is how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then Allah Rabbul Izzah uses the word Ar-Rahman. And before we go to Ar-Rahman, small discussion. There is an opinion that if you have the Ism-e-Zar and you make dua, your dua is accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got various attributes and qualities, and most of us know that there are 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are 99 qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One clarification, you must understand that when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got 99 attributes, it does not mean He's got only 99 attributes. What it means is that these are His famous attributes. These are His famous qualities. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi has written one kitab where he enumerates over 1,000 qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proven from the Quran. Secondly, there is a fallacious belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got 99 names and the 100th one, the camel does. That is false also. There is no basis for it. Now, which is the Ism-e-Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he says, and Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi is a reporter, they say that the Ism-e-Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the word Allah. And how do you use it is very simple. That when you make a dua, then you think of this word Allah. And you focus your attention on the word Allah. And according to some Sufis, they say that we should, for example, know the word and the formation of the word Allah and implant it in the heart and print it in gold. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, accept my dua. So the Ism-e-Zat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman is used after Allah. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that when you keep your names of your children, then keep Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Abdurrahim. With the order. Abdullah, so Allah is coming first. Abdurrahman, Bismillah ar-Rahman, ar-Rahman is coming. Then keep your child's name, Abdurrahim, the Rahim. So the order is followed there, and the hadith is deduced from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that the word Allah is coming first, and the most important quality, and the most superior quality, and the best quality in judgment is ar-Rahman. So that is why in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahman is coming. And then the word ar-Rahim is coming. That is why we also should take this hadith into account, and when keeping names of children, we should try to keep their names according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we have got two names, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And according to the grammarians, they say Ar-Rahman is more superior, has got more meaning than Ar-Rahim. Very simple. That Ar-Rahman pertains to this world, and the Muslim, the non-Muslim, the pious, the righteous, the sinner, all are included in Ar-Rahman. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the person who is sinning. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the kafir, the Muslim, the non-Muslim, the mushrik, the person who worships the other idol, the person who is bowing before the statue, the person who is slaughtering in the name of someone else. Everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. So that is why the word Ar-Rahman is coming first. And Ar-Rahim, this Ar-Rahim, the quality will be exercised on the Day of Judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful, and He will be merciful only to the Muslims. Why? Because the quality of Ar-Rahman has already been given here on earth, so the person who is a kafir is given a chance to make tawbah and go to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This word Ar-Rahman is special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special to the Creator. No other created being has been given the title of Ar-Rahman. Whereas Rahim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been given this title also of Rahim. In the Quran al-Kareem it comes about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, describing the attribute of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, "Bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim." The quality of Rahim, mercy, is in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the word Allah and the word Ar-Rahman are special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot say that a person, a human being is Ar-Rahman. But you can say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rahim. Here you must realize that the quality of mercy, which we are discussing, for this quality of mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require a physical organ. Physical organ, for example, if you want to see, we require eyes, a physical organ. If we want to be merciful, we require the heart, a physical organ. If we want to hear, we require a physical organ, the ear. Allah Rabbul Izzat says about Himself in the Quran al-Karim, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shayun here means nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sami, that means He's all hearing, and basir is all seeing. Now for this, all seeing and all hearing, and to be merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require organs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require physical part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require components. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all these things. You cannot say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was here, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here. You cannot say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a face or a hand. These things, these limbs, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all these things. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ghani wa antum fuqara. All, everything is dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from want, and you are in want. This is one basic quality which divides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, from the creation. And it is a quality that you should remember. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do what we do. Pass to go to you, to go out for urination, have children. All these are wants, these are needs, these are necessities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this. He is independent of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fall asleep. He does not go unconscious. He does not go into a coma. He does not faint. He does not have any epileptic pain. He does not sleep. All these things are free from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from these things. These defects, these flaws, and these limitations, and these boundaries which we talk about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this. This is the view of all this world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all these things. Man has got three stages. Man has got three stages in life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing these three stages in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. One stage of man is, you and I, we are not in existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into existence. We were not around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us. You, your father, your grandfather, your wife, your children, they were not in existence. They were not on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into existence. Then, you would see that you and I are alive. We have to maintain, we have to sustain, we have to live, we have to be maintained till the end, till we die. Then, we have to see results of this world. Good deeds must get rewards. Bad deeds must get punishment. This is the natural order of things. Every action has got a reaction. Now, who brought us from existence to from non-existence to existence? It is Allah. That's why Allah is first in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And who is maintaining us here? Who is sustaining us here? Who is providing for us here? Who is keeping us alive here? Who is maintaining us? Who is giving us food, drink and water? Who is doing all this? Ar-Rahman. The quality of Ar-Rahman is coming. And who will bring us back onto the Day of Judgment? And who will give the good the reward? And who will punish the person who does evil? The quality of Ar-Rahim is coming into action. So man passes through three stages, and these three stages are linked to Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In Allah who brought us from non-existence to existence. In Ar-Rahman who is sustaining and maintaining and nourishing and providing for us. In the Rahim, that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward the people who are doing good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mete out the punishment for the people who are doing evil and who are not conforming to the Sharia of Islam. And the word Ar-Rahim constantly reminds us of the Akhirat. When you have Ar-Rahim, then you know that on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be merciful to the Muslims. Ar-Rahman at the moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displaying the quality, exercising this quality, and the Muslim and the non-Muslim have eyes in mercy. But on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be merciful, Ar-Rahim is going to be merciful to the Muslim alone. And we should make figure for the hereafter and be concerned about the hereafter that we'll be included amongst the Muslims. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have mercy upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this. And in this dunya, this darul dunya, we got a chance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us down, so we can act. And why we call this darul dunya? The word dunya in Arabic means something near, something close. A darul dunya, the house that is close. And why we say dunya? Because we are close to the earth. We are close to the earth, we are attached to the earth, we are above the earth. That is why it is classified as Darul Dunya. This word Dunya is saying that we are on the earth. That is why this is called the world, the Dunya. And the grave, the Alaba, cover. Why? Because we are in the earth. We are in the belly of the earth. That is why that world is called the Alaba, cover. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us practical. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand Quran and Kareem. The other thing is that we should be regular in whatever we do, constant in whatever we do, and become pabandi salat. For example, alhamdulillah, nowadays Fajr is 5:20, we should make effort that we should come to salat, good jamaat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful upon us. Purpose of all these classes, purpose of inviting towards good, forbidding evil, is that we become conscious of the fact that we are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, sooner or later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي ولأستاذي ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات بإنك سميع دعاء. يا الله اكتب لنا دعاء في الوسيلة صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.